That was exciting to see those pictures of the children walking around the neighborhood. We did our Walk the Wall event at Burnaby Lake, and it wasn't quite as sunny. It was actually raining a little bit, so you got far better weather than we did when we walked around Burnaby Lake on September 23rd. Well, it's good to be back here again with you at Heather Bible Chapel. I was here, I just looked at my calendar. It was actually about 2 years ago, almost to the Sunday, that that I spoke here before. How many remember what I spoke on? Well, okay, quiz time. But if you were here, I spoke about making the road safe. And I talked about how in the story of the Good Samaritan, both mercy and justice were important aspects of the story that Jesus was telling his disciples about what the kingdom of God looked like. When we see those aspects of mercy and justice at play, we know that God's kingdom is close. You see, it was mercy that caused the Samaritan who saw the person at the side of the road, literally left for dead, to respond and to act in a way that helped this man with his immediate needs. Mercy always calls us to respond in the moment to the needs of people that we see. In ICC, this is how we began as an organization. There were literally children left for dead at the side of the road, abandoned because they had a disability. And so David Gotz, our founder, and his friends began to take these children in and to bring them to a place where they actually had a home and a family who then cared and fed them and looked after them and provided for them. But then this aspect of justice also comes to play, because it's not just enough to take those who are left for dead at the side of the road and to give them the immediate need that they have or immediate help that they need, but you want to make that road safe for everybody else. So at ICC, our goal is that in the future, that children who have a disability are not abandoned, who are not discarded. So we began 10 years ago to develop a program called Family Partners Program that actually works to support children who have disabilities within their families. You see, parents who have a child with a disability in China have no support. They get no assistance from the government. And so that's what leads to the abandonment of children, is they just feel overwhelmed and unable to respond to the needs of their child. And so we've created a way in which we can come alongside those parents and support them and their child in their home so that they begin to feel like there is a future that they can look forward to with hope and optimism. So that is kind of how we work out the mercy and justice component that is so important that we see in Scripture. Actually, this year is our 30th anniversary of ICC. And just a little plug here, on October 24th, at the Evangelical Chinese Bible Church on Southeast Marine Way in Burnaby, we'll be having a gathering of friends and supporters and celebrating the 30 years that ICC has been providing this kind of care and assistance to children in China. But as we were thinking ahead to this year, to the 30th anniversary of ICC, a number of us as leaders gathered together and we tried to discern what it is that has happened over 30 years. What can we say has taken place? And we came up with this statement. This statement is basically a declaration that from a single act of compassion, when that first child was brought in off the street where they had been abandoned, a movement has grown, a movement that is transforming the lives of children and young adults with disabilities in China. This is something that we are very excited to celebrate. For 30 years, we have been involved in the individual acts of mercy, caring for children, but cumulatively, we are now seeing a movement that is growing. And Heather Bible Chapel, you have been a part of this growing movement of those who are seeing transformation take place in China. For 30 years, we have seen this momentum beginning to grow so that abandonment is actually decreasing. That there is actually resources that are being given to parents to work with their children and to keep them in their own home. So with that in mind, I want to share with you this morning another story that Jesus tells. And this one is in Luke chapter 18. And if you want to take your Bibles and read along with me, I'll be reading from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. You see, to build a movement of mercy and justice, to express the kingdom of God and the good news that God has come to bring hope to those who are vulnerable, to those who are left at the side of the road, there's something that is needed, and that is a relentless faith. And this story is often referred to as the story of the persistent widow. But I want to read now to you from this story that Jesus tells his followers. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared for what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This story is particularly significant because it speaks of one of the people that Scripture identifies as those who God pays special attention to. Those who are particularly vulnerable and need to be given priority in terms of the activities and the care that is expressed to them. Biblical scholars refer to this group as the quartet of the vulnerable. And in Scripture, we see these people as the foreigner or the refugee, or the widow or fatherless, the orphan. And then there's that large grouping of those who are poor and needy. These are the four groups who have little power in society. These are the ones who are vulnerable to others taking advantage of them because they have no standing, no influence. So Jesus chooses one of these four people groups and tells this story. This woman has no husband. So she has no standing in the culture. And so she is the one who comes before the unjust judge to plead her case. Now, we're not told what the exact situation was that she was coming to him for help for. But we do know that she would be vulnerable to someone who was more powerful than her, who would want to take advantage of her. At ICC, the group of people that we are most familiar with are the orphans. Those who've experienced abandonment by their families because they have a disability. And so I think it's appropriate that because Jesus is speaking about one particular group or one particular class of those vulnerable people, the widow, we can also lump the orphan into that. So imagine the orphan coming, pleading a case before an unjust God. Orphans don't have standing. They don't have influence. They don't have place within Chinese culture. One of the realities that ICC deals with in working with children who've experienced abandonment is that there are broken systems within the government that we need to work within. Now, there have been changes, there have been improvements over the years, but there are lots of places where it's difficult to actually provide the kind of care that we want to give to the children that we work with. I want to just share a story with you that happened just before COVID came in 2020. In late 2019, the government decided that they were going to transfer a significant number of the young adults, so those who are 16 and over, into a separate government center that was going to be run by the government. Now, these are children who had grown up within ICC's care. They had come to us as children who'd been abandoned, but then we brought them in, gave them a family that they belonged to, fed them, cared for them, provided medical attention for them where they needed, gave them opportunities for education, any kind of therapy that they needed. But now they were going to be moved into a separate facility that the government was going to run. Many of these children had not known any context other than the context of the loving care of ICC. But the government decided that's what they were going to do. But our staff said, well, we're not going to just say goodbye to these children and not try to reach out to them. So three of our staff every week would go to that welfare center just to check on the children, these young adults. At first, we were not allowed to see them, so we brought notes and gifts that we asked the staff to pass along to them, because we knew that they were there, but we wanted to let them know that they were still remembered and not forgotten. Eventually, we were given opportunity to come and do a few activities with the children that had come from ICC into that facility. And we were just about to be able to start programs and activities and therapy sessions with the entire government welfare center when COVID hit in 2020. Once again, we were restricted from entering the facility, but after the lockdown was lifted, again, our staff went back and brought gifts for the young people and reminded the staff that we had not forgotten about these young adults who were living there. The staff there would not allow us to actually go and see them, to actually have interaction with them face to face. However, we did get a call about 3 months after the restrictions were lifted, saying that one of the young people that had come from ICC was struggling emotionally, and the staff there wondered if someone would come from ICC and spend some time with that one young person. So we quickly said, yes, of course, and we showed up, and we were able to help alleviate the problem that this young person was having. But the reality is that we still have a very limited access to these young adults now who are growing up. We want them to know that they still matter, that they're still remembered, that we care for them and want to provide whatever assistance we can. But there are just blockages along the way. But our staff continued to show up every week, asking for opportunities to go and to see those children. Now, I want to show you a picture of those staff members. They don't look particularly fierce or intimidating, but they are relentless. They don't take no for an answer. They keep going and asking and waiting for that opportunity where we will be able to go into that home and continue to care for and serve the young adults that are there. But Jesus is wanting his disciples to realize that the work of his kingdom and the work of justice that he calls us to, that go to the broken places, that go to the highways that are littered with bodies who have been discarded and left for dead. He wants us to know that this is going to require a relentless faith. In the last verse of that I read, Jesus actually asked this question of his disciples. He tells them this story, and then he just says, I wonder how much faith will the Son of Man find on earth? You see, being relentless is actually quite countercultural for us today. Most of us have a smartphone. And if you Google it, you can get any answer to any question you want, and actually quite quickly. Or you can get traffic updates, or what the weather is, or a news report, or where to go out to eat, what restaurant is closest. And usually you get that information in 1 or 2 seconds. But I wonder if you've had that experience of being in a place where maybe the Wi-Fi connection is not very good, or you're out of cell phone coverage, and your phone doesn't give you what you want right away. What happens? Our blood pressure starts to rise. We're not getting the answers we want as quickly as we want. You may even start shouting at your phone, come on, hurry up, I need this information. Did the Canucks win or lose? We're not a very patient group of people. We don't understand the importance of being relentless. Well, Jesus wants us as his followers to know that the work of the kingdom, the work of justice and of prayer, requires us to have a relentless faith. And I want to touch on three things that I think will help us prepare ourselves so that if Jesus were to ask us, well, Mark, will I find a relentless faith in you, like in this widow? Will I find that in you, in your life? I hopefully will be prepared to say, yes, I know what's going to be required of me, and I've prepared well. Well, the first thing that I think we need to understand is that we simply need to be prepared for the fact that there is going to be resistance and apathy in the pursuit of the kingdom's work. Jesus here describes a judge as someone who did not care about God, had no moral kind of foundation from which he operated, and didn't care about people. Now, I got to wonder, how did this person become a judge? You scratch your head and you go, so here's a judge, supposed to make decisions, and yet he cares nothing about God or doesn't really care about people. But this describes so well often the situations and circumstances that we encounter in the pursuit of the kingdom of God. In China, one of the things that ICC encounters on a regular basis is that the children that we care for often have complex medical problems, and we have to take them for medical procedures. But often, because they have a disability, they're deemed as not having a priority. That there are others more able-bodied who are more deserving of medical attention. Or it's too expensive. And so people with disabilities are pushed to the side. And we have to advocate for them. We have to stand up and say, no, they deserve the right to receive the same medical procedures and support that anybody else does. I want to tell you a story about a young girl named Harmony who came into ICC's care when she was found abandoned in 2017. Harmony had Down syndrome. And when she arrived at ICC's home, it was noticeable that she had difficulty breathing and she couldn't feed very well. So our trained nurses knew that Harmony's condition was treatable. It's something that they had seen before. But she needed to go to Shanghai to receive the treatment, the operation that was needed, because the local hospital wasn't equipped to do the procedure. But the problem was, is the local authorities did not want to send her to Shanghai for the procedure. They said it's too expensive. It's inconvenient. But her team kept advocating, kept asking. They were relentless so that Harmony could get this procedure. And finally, after many phone calls and visits to local authorities' offices, they relented and agreed to send Harmony to Shanghai for the procedures that she needed. And one of our staff members accompanied her on that trip. And then she received the medical procedure that she needed and was put on a ventilator and moved to the ICU ward. But when she got to the ICU ward, the doctors there said, well, if she doesn't improve really, really quick, we're going to have to take her off the ventilator. Somebody else needs that piece of equipment. And again, our staff said, no. She deserves to be on that ventilator so that her life could be saved, so that her life would be able to be preciously restored. Again, our team was relentless. We began to cry out because it was taking longer than what we had thought it would take for the procedure to take its effect and for Harmony to recover. And so we sent out a message to our prayer partners. And a family in the U.S. who already had a daughter with Down syndrome, when they read the prayer request and heard about Harmony's story, they said, you know what? I think God's asking us to actually adopt Harmony and to bring her to the United States. So we shared that with, again, local government authorities, thinking that they would be thrilled because they would no longer be responsible for her care and for the medical needs that she had. But they said, no, we don't want to do that. But again, our staff was relentless. They kept asking and visiting offices, speaking to government agency after government agency. And finally, the adoption was granted and Harmony was able to be moved to the U.S. and is now living with her family there. I just want to show you a picture of Harmony when she was in the hospital in Shanghai. What a cutie, huh? What a sweetie. While she's in the U.S. Now and living with her family, we get reports. And she is thriving. She is doing very well. And we heard that she and her sister really have a great relationship together. So this is a story about the benefits of being relentless. Literally, a young girl's life is saved because we wouldn't take no for an answer. These are the obstacles, the challenges that we will face anywhere, here in Canada. Our systems are not perfect here either. And we need to be relentless in advocating for those who have disabilities and those who have needs here in Canada as well. But the important question that we need to come back to is that question Jesus asked is, will the Son of Man find people of relentless faith here on this earth? You realize that the judge didn't grant the widow the protection that she was looking for, the justice that she was looking for, because of the merits of her case. He granted her justice because she wore him down. She just kept going and going and going and asking, and finally he said, enough, I'll give you what you need. That was the unjust judge's response. How much more our loving Heavenly Father will work to bring justice for those who call out to him for the things that are good, the things that are part of his kingdom here in this earth. So there are challenges. We need to prepare for it. Well, the second thing that Jesus does in telling this story is he wants to really help people to understand whether or not they believe that God's kingdom will prevail. Jesus makes it very clear that for those who are relentless, God will surely bring justice for his people. But do we believe that? Do we actually believe that when resistance and apathy face us, when there are challenges that seem insurmountable, do we actually believe that the kingdom of God will prevail and that justice and the God of justice will bring about that end for those that he cares about? We have to believe this. I think most of us have heard of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the pastor and civil rights leader in the United States. How many of you have heard of him? You've seen the movie Selma? Have you seen that picture, Selma? Well, the movie Selma is about the march that Dr. King and a number of people led on March 7th, 1965, to march from Selma, Alabama, to Montgomery, Alabama, which is the state capital. And the reason they were going to march is because they were marching so that they could propose that African Americans would have the right to vote in the U.S. So Dr. King and about 600 people set out to march to Montgomery. But to do there, they had to get across this bridge. It's called the Edmund Pettus Bridge. But when they got to the other side of the bridge, they met this, a strong line of resistance. Police with billy clubs, police dogs, tear gas met the marchers. And after a violent confrontation, the march to Montgomery ended 2,000 meters from where it began. And this confrontation that we see here in this picture was meant to make a very important statement. And that statement was this. And the statement was to the marchers, don't ever try to do this again. You will never get to Montgomery. You do not have the power to get through this line. You will be stopped. So it appeared that the quest for the right to vote had come to a very quick and violent end. But then 2 days later, after the original march, Dr. King and a number of associates once again crossed the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And again, there was a line of police officers waiting at the far end. But this time, instead of trying to get through that line and keep marching, Dr. King and his fellow pastors that were with him dropped to their knees and they prayed. Now, some people said, why would you do that? That's not going to do anything. You need to keep marching. And Dr. King said, no, this is a spiritual issue. This is an issue of the kingdom and of justice. So prayer is appropriate. So after they prayed, they got up and crossed over to the other side of the bridge. But something happened over the next 2 weeks. This picture was broadcast through the paper, through television. And as a result, all across the U.S., there were marches that began to form saying, we march in solidarity with those people in Selma, Alabama. And then on March 23rd, so 2 weeks later after the original march, now 3,200 marchers set off again from Selma to march to Montgomery. But this time they did so with the protection of the federal troops, who ensured they got past the end of that Edmund Pettus Bridge safely. And so for 2 days they marched. They slept in fields overnight. People came out to give them food as they walked to Montgomery. And other people began to join the march. And then when they finally arrived in Montgomery on March 25th, there were over 25,000 people who had joined this march. Later that year, in August, President Lyndon Johnson signs the Voting Rights Act that gave African Americans the right to vote in the U.S. for the first time. You see, it wasn't the troops that ensured them safety across the bridge that ultimately produced this result. It was Dr. Martin Luther King's belief that God is a God of justice and he will work out justice for those who believe and do not lose heart. In fact, Dr. King said these words. He said, the moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice. Jesus said, my Father will work justice for those who are relentless and call out night and day for his help. Do we believe? Even in the face of insurmountable odds and obstacles and resistance, do we believe that God's justice will come for those who are vulnerable? At ICC, we believe God's justice will come for children who have disabilities in China if we are relentless and do not give up. The final connection that Jesus makes in this story of the persistent widow is the link between being relentless in prayer and seeing God's justice come. This was the reason, actually, Jesus tells the story. He tells the story to his disciples because he's saying, when you pray, be like this widow who kept coming to this unjust judge and kept asking for justice. Be like her when you pray. Seeking justice does require courageous action, but it also must include being relentless on our knees in prayer, crying out to God for help. Many people who know about ICC know about our work of providing love, hope, and opportunity for children with disabilities in China. But what may not be quite as obvious is how dependent we are on prayer to open doors, to make a way. We have a daily prayer calendar that lists the names of the children that we can pray for on a daily basis and our staff. At our office here in Burnaby, we begin every day with 15 minutes of stillness, of prayer, giving our life and our work to listening to God, who is there advocating and who is the one who brings justice for the children that we serve. We do that because we know that's what everything starts with. That's what we have to be dependent on. We have a devotional written every week that is shared with our entire ICC community that tells us again to remember God is at work. Depend upon Him. He is faithful. He will accomplish this work. It doesn't just depend upon what we do. There have been times where there's been a major problem or obstacle that's arisen, and we've literally stopped our work. We've gathered together and we've prayed and asked God to intervene, to bring his justice to bear. And we pray like this as an organization, not so much out of a matter of discipline, but out of a matter of desperation. We know that we could never accomplish what we have done in 30 years if God had not been doing his miraculous intervention in the midst of our work in China. We are one of a very few Christian organizations who are actually licensed to work in China as a foreign NGO. That in itself is a miracle. And for 30 years, we have been calling out in a relentless way for God to help those who are vulnerable. The children that have been told you have no value, you have no worth, you don't matter. We have been calling out to the God of justice. And sometimes we have to pray a long time before we see these miracles happen. And we have to be relentless. And so when we face obstacles and challenge, we believe what Jesus said, don't lose heart. Keep praying, keep asking, and the God of justice will hear and answer your prayers. So my encouragement to each one of us today is that we would listen to this story that Jesus tells and prepare ourselves to have a relentless faith. A relentless faith that will not back down when there's apathy or obstacles in our way. That really believes that the kingdom of God is active in this world, that heaven is coming, the will of God is being done on this earth if we do not give up. And to pray, and to keep on praying, to keep on asking the God of justice to work his justice for those who need it. That might be something that you particularly need to be encouraged with today. Or perhaps you want to join with ICC in a more formal way and join with us in this work that we are doing. Thank you so much for the way that Heather Bible Chapel has done this, and your Walk the Wall again is so generous and kind. But maybe you want to sponsor a child and have a child that you will be praying for on a regular basis so that you ask that God's justice would be done for that child. If you want to join and become one of our prayer partners and receive monthly email updates that list the prayer requests that we have, the children that you can pray for during that month. You can go to our website and you can sign up there and you can get all that set up so you can receive that. Or you can talk to me after the service and I can make that happen. But I want to encourage you to express this tenacious, relentless faith in some way. When I began, I shared with you this statement that from a single act of compassion, a movement has grown. Each of us have an opportunity to do that single act of compassion, that one thing that can make a difference, that act of mercy, extending kindness to someone in need. That is no small thing. But as more and more of us continue to gather together, to work together, to build up this movement, something incredible happens. And actually, the prophet Amos speaks about this in Amos 5:24 when he says, "But let justice roll like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream." You want to talk about movement? Rivers are movements. Streams are movements. But it's made up of single drops of water that have come together to move in a concerted way, in a concerted direction. And nothing's going to stop that river. It's going to move. The kingdom of God is advancing. The kingdom of God is coming here on this earth. But it requires men, women, boys, girls who have relentless faith to actually see it happen. May God grant us the grace, the obedience to step towards that in our lives today. Let me pray. Good Father, thank you that you are at work in this world through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that your kingdom has come and is coming. Even as we see all of the violence, the wars, the brokenness, the shattered lives around us, we believe that your kingdom has been established through Jesus Christ here in this earth, and that that is the good news to those who are looking for hope in this world. That Jesus, the King, has come with a new kingdom. So help us, we pray, to be a people who are relentless, who do not back down, who don't give up when obstacles come in our path. But that we will continue to call and to pray and to cry out to you, our Father, the God of justice, who will work justice for your people in this earth. Help us to be relentless. We pray this all in the name, in the powerful name of our Savior and of our King, Jesus Christ. Amen.